إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you about the importance of guarding our deeds, importance of guarding whatever hasanat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and the ability to earn. And I'm saying guarding because it is true that as far as the earning itself is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us a minimum of 1:10 return, where He said, whoever comes to me with one hasana, I will give him 10 likewise. And then in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it and He likened it to planting a seed that from which grows a shoot which has 7 years, and each year has 100 seeds, and so therefore it is 1:700. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, and Allah increases that bi ghayri hisab. So it is not only 1:700, it is not restricted to that. Inshallah, it is much more than that. So on the one hand, you have this, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to do as much good as we can while we still have the time. But on the other hand, are also actions that we need to guard against, because if we don't guard against them, then these actions are specific actions, inshallah, today and tomorrow and so on, we'll talk about them. These are actions which are not only harmful in themselves, but they also take away the good deeds that we have accumulated. And I speak about myself, it is for each of us to take stock of his own account, because when we stand before Allah, we will stand with our account alone. And I can certainly say for myself that whatever meager deeds that I have been able to collect, I don't even know if there is one in that which Allah will accept, but whatever we have been able to do to the best of our ability, we certainly don't want to lose it. So what are these actions? I want to begin by the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he asked the Sahaba and he said, do you know who are the destitute people? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, a destitute person. Remember, he's not asking who is the poor person. There is a difference between being poor and being destitute. A poor person is poor in the sense that materially he has less. But a destitute person is somebody who has nothing, not just less, who has absolutely nothing. So there is a big difference between being poor and being destitute. So he asked the Sahaba, he said, who are the destitute? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, a destitute person is one who has nothing, who has no dinar, no dirham, he has no money, he has nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, the destitute one will not be the one who does not have dinar and dirham. He said, the destitute person will be a person who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu with good deeds. He is the one who comes before Allah with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. Now please listen carefully. He did not say the destitute person is the one who comes before Allah with sins. He said he is the one who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. Now you can imagine for yourself what all the person must have done, how much of time and energy and money and resources that he or she would have spent in this life trying to earn the pleasure of Allah. Good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but when this person's deeds are weighed, people will come who will say, oh Allah, give us justice. And what is that justice? These people will say, this person, he harmed us, he insulted us, he maligned us, he cheated us, he beat us, he killed us. He took away our rights, he took away our izzah, He took away our dignity. He took away our respect. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there will be a line of people like this. Now on the day of judgment, the currency is deeds. It is not money. It is deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, all right. So this person shouted at you in public and insulted you publicly, and you did not have the, at that time you did not have the ability to react because you were poor or you were weak, and this person had authority over you. So he insulted you and you could not do anything. Now, here is the recompense for that. So Allah will take deeds from this mountain of Uhud worth of deeds and give it to this person. Then another one will come. And Allah will say, all right, so he cheated you in this dunya of whatever it was, whether it's money or land or whatnot. Well, now here is the recompense for this, some more deeds. And another one will come. Oh, he slapped you. Here is some more deeds. Another one will come. He hit you, he killed you. Here is some deeds. He took away your property. Here is some deeds. He maligned you. He did ghibat of you. He maligned you. He slandered you. And then of course, this slander doesn't stop with that person. So it goes from person to person to person to person. So all of that slander, till the day of judgment, however many people bad talked you because they heard it first from that person, all of that, the deeds go to that one person. And so on and so on and so on until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that entire mountain of good deeds will be finished. Listen carefully. Until the entire mountain of Uhud worth of good deeds will be finished, but the line of people would not have finished. The line of people, the debtors would not have finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, now what do you want me to do? And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And they will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, his deeds are finished. So now take our evil deeds and give it to him. And this will be done. And that person who came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a mountain size of good deeds will go into the hellfire because of the evil of somebody else's deeds. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this fate. The one who denied Allah, the one who was a kafir, the one who was a mushrik, he goes into the hellfire. One can say, well, he had the opportunity, he didn't take it, and he denied Allah, so he was punished. But what about the one who is a Muslim? What about the one who prayed every salah in the masjid? What about the one who did this and this and this and this and this? And he still goes into the same hellfire with the one who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because he denied Allah, but because of what he did with huququl ibad. Now in this context, as I said, we'll talk about different things. I want to begin with the number one, with the A. From the A to Z, I want to begin with the A. And the A is anger. Is anger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the strong person is not the one who can defeat an opponent. The strong person is the one who can control his anger. A person came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a problem with anger. And this is true. Some people have actually a physiological, medical problem with anger. When they get angry, they literally become insane. And anger is a form of insanity. Anger is a form of temporary insanity. So there are some people who become completely, totally out of control. Now, it is very important to go and seek some medical help. If that is what is happening to you, then there's nothing to be ashamed about. That is it's like having a cold or a cough or a fever or something. So what's there to be ashamed of? Go to the doctor. Take some medicine for it. Because believe me, whether it is happening to you because of a medical condition or what, the effect of that is on other people. And that effect, you can't go before Allah and say, what can I do? I had a medical condition. No. If you had a medical condition, there's also a cure for it. You did not go and seek the cure. You will find the cure in the hellfire. The reason I'm saying is because anger is such an evil. It's just the tongue. And may Allah protect us. There are people, of course, along with the tongue, then the hands and the feet, everything works. And we don't want that. That's even worse. But even the tongue. Anger is a sign of arrogance, number one. Anger is a sign of complete lack of personal self-confidence. Anger is a sign of cowardice. I say to the people who get angry and who shout at their wives and children and who shout at their servants, if you are so brave, why don't you go shout at your boss? The way you yell at your wife, you scream at your wife, the way you scream at your children, the way you scream at your servants. I've seen some, may Allah protect us, people call the servants. I don't want to sit here and repeat what I've heard, but you know, and I'm sure all of us have heard such things. Go say it to your boss. You are so brave, go and scream at your boss. Make sure you pack your bags and everything else before that, because you know the outcome of that. If you are so brave, go do that. You are brave with your wife, because a poor woman has no tongue in her mouth. What can she do? She is dependent on you. She is physically not as powerful as you are. So you can scream at her, you can beat her. She has to take it. But wallahi, remember one thing. She has to take it from you, but when you scream at her and she is helpless, there is one who is the Rabb of the helpless. Rabbul Mustada'feen. Specifically, Allah did not call Himself the Rabb of the kings. Allah did not say Rabbul Amlak. Allah did not say Rabb of the kings. Rabb of the wealthy. Did Allah say Rabb of the wealthy? I mean, after all, you can say, well, what did a wealthy man do? I mean, having halal wealth, is this a crime? It is not a crime. It is a blessing, inshallah al-musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us free from all want and to give us halal wealth. But just ask yourself, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not call Himself the Rabb of the wealthy, the Rabb of the kings, the Rabb of the powerful, the Rabb of the strong? Allah called Himself Rabbul Masakin, Rabbul Mustada'feen, the Rabb of the poor, the Rabb of the weak. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you think you are strong, and if you think you can oppress my weak slaves, then I am their Rabb. I am their Rabb. Let me see what you will do now. I am their Rabb. Rabbul Mustada'feen. So remember, when you scream at that woman, who is your wife? And when you scream at those children, when you scream at those servants, they cannot say anything to you because you are paying their salary, because you are looking after them. They are under your control. But if they raise their hands to their Rabb, if they raise their hands to their Rabb, then remember that there is nothing which stands between the dua of the oppressed and the arsh of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Rasulullah said, there is nothing which stands between the dua of the oppressed and the arsh of Allah. That dua goes straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the person making dua is a mushrik, even if the person making dua is a kafir, even if the person making dua is a mulhid, even if the person making dua denies the existence of Allah, and he calls somebody else, and he calls by some other name, it doesn't matter what name he calls, because there is only one God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. And therefore, in this particular case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to the dua of a person who is not a Muslim against a Muslim. Now, what do you think of the dua of a Muslim woman who is your wife? What do you think of the dua of a Muslim child who is your child? What do you think of the dua of a Muslim servant who is your servant, who you insist on treating like a slave? He is not your slave, he is Abdullah. He is not your slave, he is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you got angry. Because you got angry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zaid bin Haritha, a young boy, as a gift. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately released him from slavery and he kept him in his house like his son. Now Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu says, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me some money and sent me to the market in Makkah to get something. So he said, I put the money in my pocket. I was going on my way. I saw some friends of mine, other children, they were playing some game. So I joined them. I got involved in the game. And I forgot all about the errand that I was sent on. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting for Zaid to come back, and then there's no sign of Zaid. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went looking for Zaid. And when he found Zaid, where is Zaid? Zaid has forgotten all his job and is playing with his friends. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him, and Zaid bin Haritha radhiyallahu anhu said that I got frightened because I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and suddenly I remembered that he sent me for something, I am doing something else. He said, when I came to him, he told me, he said, he smiled and he said, you got involved with your friends. He said, okay, give me the money, I will go and get the thing, then you can go back to your game. Zaid bin Haritha says, I put my hand in my pocket, money is gone. In the game, he dropped the money somewhere. So he said, I lost the money also. He said, the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, okay, finish your game and come home. Yeah? Imagine, what kind of behavior is this? What would you or I have done? May Allah forgive us. What would some of us have done? Maybe not you and I, but I'm saying maybe some of us, people who are prone to anger, what would you have done? You would have whacked Zaid one, and Zaid would have taken three somersaults and fallen on his back. Huh? Why? Because you are strong. You would have cursed him and his mother and his grandmother, everything. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina, Anas bin Malik's mother gave Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas bin Malik said, I was a young boy and I spent 10 years in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas bin Malik is one of the closest sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sharf, the izzah that he has, thanks to this association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being a servant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that Anas bin Malik, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu lived a long life. And he says, the blessing that Allah gave me is that I see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream every night. Every night. We ask Allah to show us His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in our dream before we die, inshallah. Anas bin Malik used to see him every day. This Anas bin Malik says, 10 years I spent in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I was a young boy. He told me many things to do this and do that. He said, sometimes I did them. I did my best, but sometimes I would forget. Sometimes I would do the wrong thing because I understood it wrong or whatever. He said, not once, not a single time did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuke me. Not once did he shout at me. Not once did he beat me. Not once did he even frown at me. He did not even frown and glare at me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people, he said, be good to your family, to your wives, because I am the best to my wives. Somebody came and asked him. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if I am a good person? He said, ask your wife. Ask your wife. You know, how many of us have the guts to do that? Huh? Inshallah, we hope that our wives will tell lies in our favor, inshallah. Whatever we were. And subhanAllah, I have seen this. I have seen women who have been abused all their life. And we know this. Women who have been mistreated and abused all their lives. But when you ask the woman about the husband, she will say only a good thing. Allah has given the sisters big hearts, alhamdulillah. She will not say my husband was whatever. No, she'll say, alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind to me. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to those people who are in your control. Not my words. These are the last words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, guard your salah and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the people in your control, the women and the slaves. It's not only slaves, it's whoever is in your control, your employees, your servants and so on. He said, fear Allah with respect to them because we are accountable for them. And this anger of ours, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, but this anger is capable of taking us into the hellfire because of how we use our tongue, because of our shouting and screaming. We shout and scream and we take away their honor, we take away their dignity, we insult them, and they cannot say anything to us. That helplessness is seen by their Rabb who is not helpless. Their helplessness is seen by their Rabb who is not helpless. And then it is between you and their Rabb. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fear the day when you find yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all your deeds wiped out. And on that day, that woman, that wife, and that child, and that children of yours, and those employees of yours, and those servants of yours, who today have no power, on that day they will have the power. On that day there will be no connection between you and them. There's no question of, oh, my husband, oh, I don't know who he is. There's no question of saying, my wife, I don't know who she is. We are all ibadullah, and we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the basis of our deeds alone, nothing else. No person on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the day when a person will run away from his own father and mother. No loyalties that day. On that day, all the deeds will be wiped out. So weigh carefully what comes out of our mouth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the famous hadith, he said, guarantee me two things and I will guarantee you Jannah. And they said, what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually held his tongue between his fingers. And he said, guarantee me this. And guarantee me what is between your legs. That neither of these will go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will guarantee you Jannah. In another hadith, he said, more people will go into Jahannam because of this. And he held his blessed tongue between his fingers. He said, more people will go into Jahannam because of this than for any other reason. That this tongue of ours will take us into the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, Allah mahafizna. May Allah protect us from that. Be very, very careful. So what must you do if you get angry? And may Allah bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing that he did not teach, wallahi. People used to say, actually, what is this Nabi? He teaches you about istinja. How to wash yourself after you have passed urine. I mean, this is a, you are the Nabi of Allah. Talk to us about great spiritual things. Talk to us about you know, spirituality. And you are talking about going to the bathroom. But what spirituality is there for someone who has no tahara? Imagine, what spirituality is there? You haven't even washed yourself properly. Where is the spirituality? May Allah bless our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing that he did not teach. So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what must we do with this anger? A man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have this problem. I've got this anger. What must I do? Because I realize now that this anger will take me into the hellfire. I don't want to go into the hellfire. What shall I do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you are angry, if you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lie down. Don't speak. If you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lie down. It will cool the anger. In another place, he said, if you find that two people are angry and voices are rising, he said, call the azan. Because this is from shaitan. Anger is from shaitan. When you call the azan, shaitan runs away. It's not time for salah or anything. You just call the azan. Why? Because there are two brothers who are fighting or whatever, you know, brothers, sisters, whoever. If you find that their voices are rising and so on, he said, call the azan. Anger will come down because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cool. How to control anger? These are the ways. Take deep breaths. Count to 100. Count to 10,000. People say count to 10, not enough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10. Ta-da-da-da-da. No. Count to 10,000. By the time you get 10,000, it will come down. Go take a cold shower. Stand on your head. Do whatever it is. But keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. If your mouth is shut, inshallah, you are reasonably safe. Nothing much can happen. Very, very important. Do not allow your good deeds to be wiped out because you became so brave. You became so brave that you oppressed those who were under your control. There's no bravery in kicking your own dog. Go kick somebody else's dog and see the fun. As I said, if you are so brave, go shout at your boss. Go shout at your boss. Go shout at the policeman on the street. Then we see exactly how brave you are. So please, let us control anger. Let us make sure that our anger does not take us into the hellfire. Let us make sure that all our good deeds don't get wiped out because we could not control our anger. And on this pretext and that pretext, on, you know, this irritation and that irritation, we abuse people who were in our control, we oppress people in our control, and that landed us in the hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us and enable us to do deeds which are beneficial for us and to enable us to keep control on those deeds which are harmful and not allow those beneficial deeds to be wiped out because we could not control the harmful deeds.
وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الرحيم.